I am intentional about focusing on women in jazz, as I am a woman in jazz presenting, and I am someone who have worked in male-dominated field. Like, I get it, if that makes sense, but it is a truly another level when this is the, you know, I always think of the songbook of our life, or what they say, you know, the soundtrack of our life. I'm looking at you individually, my head is going, it's about to explode. I have so much to, you know what I mean? There's so much that relates to this, but I think the most powerful message that I do convey to the listeners is the idea, the notion that in the 1940s, when most women singers adorned big bands or the stage as just a vocal power, not just a, but that was their presence. That's how they were seen, right? And so, and rather than legitimate, maybe not seen as legitimate members of the big band, but rather the voice. So Sarah Vaughan and her predecessor, Ella Fitzgerald, I believe that they did help to elevate the vocalist's position as band leader. And you know what I'm saying? And being recognized for their role and their voice being an instrument. Mm-hmm. It really is a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's something that folks on many levels just need that put into their head, educated somehow on the notion. And I just wondered, especially having seen Dr. Lenora Helm Hammonds on stage at Carnegie Hall, I recently witnessed a performance, and the gentleman was identified as being the first black man to conduct on the, I'm not sorry, not the first, but the second to conduct on the Carnegie Hall stage. And then I wondered where you were in that lineage of being a black woman conducting on stage. But each of you individually are leading your own bands with your voices. And so any comments on that topic would be welcome.
There's so many. Thank you for that, Bonnie, because recognizing the omission is part of a resistance moving through the persistent narrative that it's a man's world. In terms of jazz, especially, where you, those of us who are moving and in the music, whether we're educating from the stage or educating in a classroom, and persisting. I remember an article someone wrote about an album I did, said that I was singing in the rain because I was not yet given a certain kind of spotlight. And I thought, well, I like the rain. So, you know, it's important to, you know, whether I was first or second or third, I've been first in many things, but I don't want to be the last. So often, whatever I'm doing, I pull people with me. On that Carnegie Hall stage were my alums from 25 years ago when I first started teaching in higher ed, and as recent as my current students in my role as dean at Berklee College of Music. So I think when I look at the people who have mentored me from afar because I didn't know them, like Maya Angelou, like Toni Morrison, like Angela Davis, mm-hmm. like Nina Simone or Ella Fitzgerald or Sheila Jordan, mm-hmm. or, you know, when you think of, or Akiyoshi, band leader, I'm thinking. So I think about the band leaders who, Ella Fitzgerald was a band leader when Chick Webb passed away. Mm. So I think about that role and standing, my first opportunity to lead a band, a big band, in a very specific role was the Nina Simone tribute by North Carolina Arts Council to raise money for Nina Simone's childhood home. And when Lisa Simone, her daughter, called me to lead the big band with her music and her charts, I almost gave that gig away to one of my colleagues, Brian Horton, because my first thought was that, oh, I can't do that. That I'm going to call Brian and give the job to him.
Wow.
Because I felt like, oh, that's not a job I can do. Well, can I read the music from one end of the chart to the other and meet them at the double bars? Yes. Can I read the whole chart? Yes. My training was in film scoring. I know how to write for orchestra. Can I lead the band and will I have the respect of my musicians? I don't know, but I could at least try. And what would it mean for the women musicians looking on? I could hire and pepper the band with more women than usually seen. I could hire my students to sing background for Lisa Simone. And when I think about that journey of that decision, I almost want to come to tears because it was wrenching how I almost gave it away because I wasn't sure that I could deserve that spot as a woman. So it's important for us to continue to do our work and pull as we climb. That's what the sisters are about for me. That's what our record is about for me.
I love that. Yeah. You know, we have to push against narratives that are just not true. Push against narratives that say we can't get along, that we're too different, that we come from far too different backgrounds. I mean, we represent, look at us. Look at us. We're North, we're South. We identify as African-American, we identify as Caucasian, we identify as all these different things. Yet in the music, we are one. Mm-hmm. If that lesson could be shared with the world, we'd be in a whole different, you know, we are generous with each other. Mm-hmm. We are kind to each other. We are understanding. It's not easy. We're all leaders. We know how to put on the combat boots. Thank you very much. And when we stomp it off, we want it right where we put it. But this is about collaboration. This is about listening deeper than we ever have had to before. It's not always comfortable. It's not always feeling like we're checking in with each other. Is this okay? What do you think about this? And, oh, that's a great idea. That's a fabulous, I didn't think of that. We're used to carrying the weight on our own slender shoulders. Most of the time. How about I feel so encouraged and so enriched by these women because they're all so smart. And that takes nothing away from me. That only adds to who I am. When our sister Lois just had a fabulous event, which I'm going to fuss at her later because she didn't shout it from the rooftops. The National Humanities Center.
Yes,
my chest is so big, not just for Lois, but for me. That's my sister. I'm just saying, there's nothing that these women can do that doesn't belong to me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. So you see the fiendish plan here. Mm-hmm. We about to take over the world. I'm just saying.
And you know, Bonnie, we also are standing on the shoulders and paying homage. And I think a lot about Mary Lou Williams, right? Mm-hmm. I've had the great fortune of meeting her, you know, in her latter years when she was here in Durham at Duke University. And you know, and when, you know, whether it was Thelonious Monk or others who said, she's who helped make me who I was, right? She was the leader who made me who I am. And so as we think about the breadth and depth of jazz and the history of jazz, I just think the fact that we can bring together our various talents and our various visions, because we do have this authentic trust and love for each other. To Nina's point, we checking in on stuff, but we trust that I'm going to go for this. And certainly if there's something that's not quite, you know, there's not a nervousness or stress around it because if it is, it's because we know we're growing together and we are advancing this art form that is so deeply meaningful to us and to a broader culture. That's one of the things that I feel so good about. And who knows what history will say about what we're doing right now. But right now, we have We're standing on the shoulders of such, of the ancestors and of such greatness, and we've been put in this place for a reason. Mm. And we are walking in the purpose and with the talent and experience that we have right now. And I feel that we are fulfilling our commitment to what it is we feel that is so meaningful to us and should be even more meaningful to the world. So it feels good. It really feels good.
Bonnie, you brought up some of the great women who had, you know, been in this, have started this legacy. And I think about the good fortune of having to see and meet and speak with Betty Carter, who I considered like just one of my foundational people that I looked up and up to, women band leaders and innovators. And and I have a picture of her right next to my piano where I'm practicing. And I think about the audacity of her as a woman in that time, and how she just, there was just no question of that she was going to lead and lead men, you know, like all mm-hmm. she just took those reins. And so sometimes, because I grew up in a family, you know, where I was just one voice of very many, and where it was often better to keep your voice down than mm-hmm. to be up. And I look at her as I don't know, I just think I feel this way about jazz in general. I feel the generosity of Black genius and that welcomed me into this path and let me, you know, say like, here, take, you know, learn this. If you respect this legacy and listen and, you know, you can be, you have something to say in here as well. And that generosity is something that I never take for granted. And that, you know, when I step on the stage, I feel that weight and that beautiful legacy as a support, as a foundation. And that feels like a big part of this, the sistering to me. It feels like a generosity that says, come, you know, we'll welcome you. And yeah, it's just something that I always feel a lot of gratitude for.
I'm literally beaming with pride sitting here with y'all. I just have to say that. I'm getting all tongue-tied because there's so much I want to get in the next 5 minutes. We could go on for days, you know, on this topic.